This is Clay from Skilled Gentlemen Podcast. You're listening to Handgun World Podcast with Bob Main.
How can people be so blind? I'm Bob Main, and I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to the Handgun World Podcast, episode number 406. Welcome to a practical show done by an everyday practical guy, and that is me. Well, this week, I have another good interview for you. I've got somebody from the past, a blast from the past that we all know and love, that is going to be joining us here soon to talk about why he's kind of made a change in his carry gun and what his new most of the time carry gun is. And that person's Chaz Murray. So Chaz is going to be coming up. We'll give him proper introduction and everything here pretty soon, as soon as I get into the interviews for this episode. But first, I'd like to start off with a product review. You've heard me spend a lot of time on this podcast about concealed carry equipment, and mainly your concealed carry system. The system being your gun, your ammo, your magazines, your belt, and even your clothing and what you're wearing. All of it works together to help give you the most effective method for concealed carry, right? Well, I got a new belt. I got to talk about it. Got to talk about this new belt. Last week, my good friend Chuck was on talking, he was on interviewing with me, talking about a couple of years of carrying a red dot pistol, and I hope you enjoyed that last week, and thanks again, Chuck. Well, Chuck finally convinced me to get an Aries Gear belt, and I really like the Aries Gear belt, and I spent a little bit of time, I believe I brought this up last week, I'm pretty sure I did. If I didn't, let me get more in depth into it. This Aries Gear Enhanced Belt, I really like it. Why did I decide to get it? Well, I like these belts that are fully adjustable. I like these fully adjustable belts like this. In other words, doesn't have any holes in it. All right, so I can basically make it any size I want on any day. It depends on how many tacos I ate that day, and I can adjust it. You see, a lot of good tacos here in San Antonio, but actually I've been doing pretty well. I have just a tiny bit of a cold right now, so if my voice sounds a little weird, that's why. But I've been doing pretty well. Got a few more pounds back off again. And Gabe Suarez kind of shamed me with the last video that he put out on appendix carry. And so I need to get to the point where I can much more effectively appendix carry like I used to. I've been outside the waistband carrying lately, and so my midsection isn't that bad, but it definitely needs to get shrunk down. So I've been working on that. So fewer tacos for me here in San Antonio, and this Aries Gear belt really makes a huge difference. I got mine from LaRue Tactical. It's probably, and by the way, I'm not getting paid for this. I don't sell these. I'm not a dealer for Aries Gear or anything like that. You know me. My philosophy on this show, I use stuff and then I talk about it. And I tell you what I think about it, good and bad, and I just kind of let you make the decision. I didn't get the Aries, the Ranger belt. I got the Aries Aegis Enhanced belt with the black buckle. Pretty good stuff. I got the inch and a half wide, and it's also, it's nice and thick, but not too thick, and very, very rigid. I bet probably I could carry two 1911s on this thing. It's that good. It's that good at supporting the weight, and it's that good at doing what it's supposed to do, and that is being a gun belt, but not, it doesn't look super, super tactical. That's what I like. It's not really super tactical. You can get the kind I got, the Aegis Enhanced belt, also comes with a silver buckle. I got a black belt, black buckle, really like it. Good stuff. Check it out. I think what I like most about it is that, you know, it's not leather. Although I'm gonna talk about a leather belt here in a minute. It's not leather, and I have nothing against leather. I just kind of like you know, the webbing or whatever it is that you call it, the nylon webbing. That's what I call it because I can't think of any other name for this material. But it's real, real good stuff. And it is probably, I would say, I've tried a lot of belts, one of the absolute best concealed carry belts. And I'm wearing it every day now. And it has replaced my Wilderness Tactical Instructor's belt, which I still have. It's not like I threw away the Wilderness belt at all. Fantastic belt. If that works for you, great. The Wilderness might be a little bit less expensive. But both of these are just fine belts, and particularly the Aries Gear Aegis Enhanced Belt. I'll put a link in the show notes in case some of you don't know which belt I'm referring to. You'll be able to check that out. Also, for dress purposes only, I do use Concealment Solutions Horsehide Python Gun Belt. I got a new Horsehide Python Gun Belt in brown color. Really love that for a nice leather gun belt. So check that out. As most of you know, Concealment Solutions is a sponsor, and it's because I use their stuff, and it's Jason's products have served me very, very well for several years, and so I talk about them. ConcealmentSolutions.com, check it out, and the coupon code HandgunWorld gets you 10% off of your order, of course, except for the belts. But HandgunWorld, 10% off at ConcealmentSolutions.com. Okay, here we go. Let's talk to Chaz Murray.
Okay, for the interview segment of this episode, a blast from the past, a very familiar voice, a guy I haven't had a chance to bring on the show in a very long time, gun enthusiast, former podcaster, Chaz Murray. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Welcome back to the Handgun World Podcast. Gosh, you've probably been on it a half a dozen times.
Well, I appreciate it. It's good to be back. I haven't been on the internet airwaves, so to speak, in a while.
You're probably smart.
I don't. I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but thanks.
Well, it's good to have you back. It's good to talk to you. I put the invitation out there. I wanted you to talk about your LCR revolver and carrying it, because recently we had a chance to talk offline, and you said you've been carrying your Ruger LCR in your pocket quite a bit.
Pretty much, and for the last, since I got it, I want to say almost a year ago, and since I purchased it, I've become extraordinarily lazy as far as carrying a gun. I do carry a gun as much as possible still, and when I do, where it's legal, I prefer to carry the LCR because it's just so darn easy to carry. So it's been a gun laziness enabler for me, for the most part.
A gun laziness enabler, okay.
Right.
Well, this episode you and I are doing right here is kind of a good follow-up to a couple weeks back when I had Grant Cunningham just talking about not just the Kimber revolver, but revolvers in general. So why does it make you a lazy gun enthusiast?
Well, I do want to carry a gun every day, and I have some special needs as far as carrying a gun goes. Being on the road, I'm still an over-the-road truck driver. This is my 18th year, actually,
wow,
of being on the road. And for anybody who is an over-the-road truck driver, you know some things about truckers in general. For one thing, we all live in this weird fantasy world that is unknown to most normal human beings, a.k.a. four-wheelers. You know that truck drivers can be very nosy,
yeah,
very know-it-all kind of folks, as far as they think that they know everything about rules and regulations. There are some things out there that are common misconceptions about carrying a gun in a over-the-road commercial truck. People think that it's illegal, and it's not. There are no federal regulations against carrying a firearm in a truck. There are no state regulations in any of the 50 states about carrying a gun in a truck. But a lot of truck drivers think that it's illegal to carry in a truck. And I cannot afford to be, quote-unquote, made carrying a gun. So I like to carry a very lightweight, unobtrusive, highly concealable firearm. And over the years, I've discovered that carrying pocket carry is, for me, a compromise that I'm willing to do in order to carry a gun every day and not have other people intrude into my business, because I can't have somebody calling up the company that I am contracted to saying, hey, your driver's carrying a gun. Most truck drivers probably don't know that it's legal to carry a gun in a truck. The company that I am contracted to can't make me not carry a gun. It's my truck. I can do whatever I want to. But they post some of their terminals as no weapons allowed at the entrances of the facility, but the other terminals that they have, they don't post it. So it's a weird, I don't know what their policy is. They've never actually stated what it is, but I don't want them, other drivers, calling up my company and saying, hey, this dude's carrying a gun or whatever. I don't want to be made.
Yeah, that's a good
and in
point.
In the past, I have carried full-sized Glocks, Glock 17s, Glock 19s, things like that, in an inside-the-waistband holster, and I do a lot of climbing in and out of trucks and trailers.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm pulling up my pants even all the time with those larger guns, that is. I was. I'm not anymore. And even with a good gun belt, that my cover garment can become exposed and things like that, and it's just not worth the hassle. So
yeah.
No one's ever suspected me of carrying a gun, as far as I can tell. I mean, no one's ever said, so I don't know if they did or not. But I know that if I carry my Ruger LCR, which is the lightest gun I have, it's like 13.5 ounces unloaded.
Right.
That, and I put it in a DeSantis Nemesis pocket holster, nobody's going to know. I mean, it's sometimes I forget that it's in my pants, which I don't really forget. I know that I just assume that I'm carrying a gun at all times, so that I don't wander into a place where that might have metal detectors or something like that. And
yeah.
I don't go to any place that I don't deliver to military bases or prisons or airports or anything like that where it's the security is restricted, so I don't worry about it that much.
Well, as you said before, you're in a position where you can't get made, and you know, for you, it just wasn't worth the risk of that happening, right?
Right. But I still want to carry a gun and protect myself and my wife, who is in the truck, and 38 Special plus P is probably the smallest caliber that I'm willing to try to protect my life with. So I've got the Ruger LCR and Winchester PDX-1 130 grain plus P jacketed hollow point ammunition. I can trust in my life to that, and I carry a speed loader and a speed strip as well.
Yeah.
Not that I expect to ever have to reload, and reloading, we talked about this before in other podcasts, it's not super common for a civilian handgun gunfighting counter to require a reload.
It's not common. Now, I guess it depends on how many rounds you're carrying in your gun. Five versus nine or something like that. You know, it's going to be far less likely to reload if you're carrying nine. But
right.
Then again, if you look at statistics, I mean, still, we still just don't see a whole lot of civilian self-defense gunfights lasting more than five rounds. Not many.
Not many. I know of one that
yeah.
I read about in a book by Masada Yub, and it's the one he brings up all the time, is the jeweler in Los Angeles that had to reload because the guy that survived like five gunfights or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't recall the name of the gentleman. And his reload was not actually reloading the gun. It was grabbing other loaded guns.
It was exactly. And, you know, we find that's typically how people reload. They just grab another loaded gun.
Yeah.
That's the most common reload.
I have
reload.
No idea if I'm ever going to be in a gunfight. I don't know if I will or not, but I know that if I am in a gunfight or a situation where I need to present my firearm in self-defense, I will need somewhere between zero and an infinite number of rounds.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. So it's either going to be enough or it's not going to be. And I don't know. If I carried, like I used to, a Glock 17 with 18 rounds in the gun and two 17-round magazines,
wow,
that would have either been enough or it wouldn't have been. I don't know. I know that in the 18 years that I've driven, zero has so far been enough.
Yeah.
And I'm going to – I don't know. So I have to not worry. I worried constantly like I used to. I think that's a common thread among new people who carry start to carry. You get a little bit of paranoia at first, I think. Like, oh, I'm going to have to use this at some point. You are hyper-aware, you know, hyper-situational awareness, things like that. Oh, people are going to see me. They're going to know that I'm carrying a gun. Am I printing? That kind of stuff. And eventually, when it becomes old hat, like you and I have carried for a long time. I know I've been carrying since 2009. And I forget how long you've been carrying. Longer than I have.
Since 2005.
It stops. You stop worrying about it. And you just do it.
Yeah, I don't. I've been carrying since 2005. I stopped worrying about it. I just do it. I don't care at this point. Now, see, I'm in a different situation than you, Chaz. I really don't care. I don't care if I get made. As long as I'm in a place where it's legal, I don't care if somebody sees it. Worst thing that can happen to me is they say, I don't want you carrying that in here, so could you please take it off and put it away, or don't be here.
Right. When I'm at home in Arkansas, I can carry whatever I want to.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I can carry a bigger gun.
Yeah.
If I want to. And so, sometimes I do. And I mean, the two guns I carry are pretty much the Ruger LCR with 5 rounds total, or the M&P Shield, which I always carry with a 7-round magazine, so I got 8 rounds in it.
Yeah. So how do you like the LCR? Why did you pick it?
Well, one of the things I like about the LCR is it's super light. And I got a chance to test fire one at a gun range. And as far as a super lightweight revolver, it shoots like a heavier revolver. It's still kind of snappy. Gosh, I wish I hadn't used that word, because I hate that when people use that term.
That's okay.
It has a percussive recoil impulse.
Oh, there you go. A percussive recoil impulse. I'll borrow that one from you.
Yeah, please do, because I freaking hate the word snappy, and I'm going to smack myself later.
You don't like the word.
It's overused, and I don't like the word purchase.
And you don't like the word. Go ahead.
You first.
Well, we'll get back to purchase, but you also don't like the word muzzle flip, do you?
I'm not the one who – I don't think I'm the one that hates the word muzzle flip.
Oh, okay.
Flipperosity. I think that was coined by a Canadian idiot.
Oh, okay.
I think the word purchase is used too much. You can gain a lot of purchase on these whole rubberized grips.
That's funny.
It's grip, whatever. There's a lot of words and terminology that's overused in gun reviews and things like that. So I really don't like the word snappy, and I get it. It's grippy. It locks into the hand well.
I can hold on to it well. There you go.
Yes. It locks into my hand well. Unlike the Walther PPQ, which I got rid of.
Yeah, I understand. And it's so let me ask you this then. You probably have the standard factory grip that came on the LCR when you bought it, right?
Yes. I have the standard factory rubber grip that came with it. I don't know who makes it. I don't care. It feels great. It's one of the only guns with finger grooves in it that I actually like and that fits well. So it's got the rubber grips. And on this one that I purchased at a gun store in Arkansas, it has a red fiber optic front sight.
Red fiber optic front. Okay.
Yeah, and it's got a clear coating on the outside of the red fiber optic to kind of protect it. So it's almost like, what is that company that makes, is it Hi-Viz?
Hi-Viz, yeah.
Anyway, I don't know who makes it, but it's not an exposed fiber optic that can break easily. It's got a nice protective clear coating on the outside to keep it from damage. So I really like it.
Yeah, and I'm fairly sure Hogue is the one that makes that grip.
Probably. It looks like a Hogue grip to me.
I'm fairly sure about that. But then again, if I'm wrong, I got good listener base that will correct
and
me.
And they'll
that.
let it, and you know what? Tell them to email me because I don't care. I'll just put it directly in the trash box. I'm out.
You'll put it in the delete.
Yeah.
Now, I have never had a chance to shoot the LCR too much. I have shot maybe 15 or 20 rounds through Ben's LCR, and his is a 38 special like
Ben
yours.
Ben who?
We're going to talk about that later. We'll talk about that Ben guy later. You know, I'll have
Yeah. That guy, the big Marine guy.
Yeah, the big goofy Marine. Remember?
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, and I heard you have a story about him. We'll talk about that in a few.
Okay.
I was fairly impressed with the LCR, and it compares to most 38 snub-nose revolvers. Seems to shoot nice.
Seems to shoot nice for me. I don't have a lot of experience with revolvers. This is the first one. Actually, I did own a Ruger GP100.
Mm-hmm.
Which was just way too heavy to carry for a gun that only has 6 rounds in it.
Yeah, that's a big gun.
So that wasn't worth it for me. So I traded it for the LCR, and I'm much happier. And it has a trigger that's just as nice, in my opinion.
Yeah, the trigger, I was impressed with the trigger on the LCR. Ruger has done a real nice job with that.
It's not awesome. But it's okay.
For a double action revolver, it's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Most double action revolvers don't have real good triggers.
It's kind of difficult to master the double action revolver trigger, and it's because you have to hold the sights on target while you're manipulating a fairly heavy, but you know, not too terrible trigger. And by terrible or good, it's hard to know what that means until you actually have shot a few triggers, but it smoothly goes to the rear without a lot of grittiness or stuttering, and it does feel like it stacks just a little bit, and by stacking it means it feels like the pressure increases as you are about to break the shot.
Yeah, I should clarify something I said earlier.
Yeah.
I said most double-action revolvers don't have good triggers. That's not true. Most of the snubby double-action revolvers don't have great triggers, but the LCR does.
Yeah, it's good. It's good enough as far as I'm concerned. I mean, one of the first revolvers that I had the privilege of shooting was one of my friend Hanish Baga, a great competitive shooter who lives in northwest Arkansas. He loaned me his Smith & Wesson 686 for the Masada Group instructor course, and oh my gosh, that spoiled me for other revolver triggers, because that was a tuned trigger, and not knowing what a regular revolver trigger's double action revolver trigger felt like, that one kind of ruined me for other things. And this one's good enough.
Yeah. So what else do you like about the LCR?
It's lightweight, it's compact, it's rugged, it's reliable. One thing, you know, when you talk about a lot of people talk about how you have to worry about chambering a round in your 9mm and making sure you don't rechamber your 9mm defensive round too often.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You don't got to worry about that in a revolver.
Yeah, that's true.
Because there's no setback. It doesn't get slammed into the chamber every time, so you don't have to. Like that, that's a very minor benefit. I like the sights. I like the way it feels. It's very concealable in the pocket holster that I use, especially wearing cargo pants. They have I have a slightly larger pocket. It still fits in a jeans pocket because I'm a bigger dude, so it's it's got a concealed hammer. I don't, you know, they have the LCRX with the exposed hammer, and you can thumb cock it for single action.
Yeah,
I don't care about that.
I don't either.
That's dumb. If I was going to get another model of the LCR, which, because I really love it, just because it's so rugged and it's so unlike other Rugers, you know, you think of Rugers being gigantic, bulky, blocky, just kind of hunks of just a big brick of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
The LCR is smooth. I mean, as far as it's compact, it doesn't have any unnecessary materials in it. It's very un-Ruger like for what it is. It's, I'd hate to say that it almost looks like if Glock was going to make a revolver, because it's got the polymer frame. It's not super. It doesn't have any extra material or take up more volume than it needs to. It's in that manner, it's really un-Ruger like. If you look at the new American pistol or the older, the P85s and things like that, those are just chunky for no particular reason.
Yeah, they're big guns.
So that's what I like about it.
So you were about to say if you were going to buy another LCR, what would it be?
I wouldn't mind checking out either the model that's in 327 Magnum, because it's got six shots.
Yeah.
I wish they would just make a six-shot 38, but if you look at the cylinder on the 38 Special, it's fairly thin already. It's a small cylinder. I wonder if they could take the Ruger LCR 357 and maybe it's, I don't know if they could make that into a six-shot 38 or not. But the 327 Magnum might be an option. I wish they made the 22 Magnum version in 8-shot. They don't. It's a 6-shot. That'd be interesting.
Yeah,
they make a, just for pure fun, they do make an 8-shot 22 long rifle version.
That would be fun.
So they make it in a lot of flavors, and that's a good thing about Rugers. They make a lot of different SKUs for the customers. So.
Well, I've heard real good things about the 327 Magnum from a lot of credible people in the gun world. And I've heard not only good things about the cartridge itself and the bullets and everything, you know, but the LCR shooting it. It's supposed to be a pretty nice package.
Yeah. I'd like to try it out anyway. Like I said, I wish it was in 38, but whatever. They don't make it a 6-shot 38, unlike the new Colt Cobra, which that'd be cool. You know, I hope that gun succeeds, and I hope they make that with a concealed hammer at some point for a snag free draw. I don't think that I would want to conceal carry a gun that didn't a revolver that didn't have the shrouded hammer. In my opinion,
I don't think I want to carry that either. Now, Chaz, I'm going to get your opinion on something, because Grant Cunningham brought this up a couple of episodes ago, and since you also regularly carry a revolver now, tell me about this. Grant was basically talking about the fact that revolvers come out of the pocket quickly when you draw them. They come out easily.
Yes.
You find that to be true?
I do. I really do. Especially the combo that he used with the DeSantis Nemesis pocket holster.
Yeah.
I have drawn this gun out of my pocket hundreds of times now, practicing with it, unloaded, of course, and the pocket holster has never come out of my pocket, and it's been quick. Is it as quick as being on a belt? I also have a Cobra holster for it from Concealment Solutions. I know they're a sponsor. They used to sponsor my whatever it was on the internet that I used to do.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, that thing. And I think I'm almost as quick. I don't know. I haven't timed myself, but it's smooth. And, you know, I drive a big truck. And, well, what if you're driving and you need to draw your gun? Well, yeah, I'm probably just going to run you over at that point. My vehicle's as big as anything else on the road, and it's got a very much larger power factor than a 130 grain projectile. Let's put it that way.
Just about 80,000 pounds, right?
80,000 pounds fully loaded, but, you know, at 88 feet per second at 60 miles an hour, that's like a power factor of several billion or something.
I'd like to find out what that ballistic coefficient would be.
Yeah, you can do the math. whatever 80,000 pounds is in grains times 88 feet per second at 60 miles an hour.
You got a 47 billion grain bullet, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, thanks for answering those questions, because these days, you know, it's not often that somebody primary carries a snub-nose revolver. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying these days it's not that often anymore because of the world of high-cap semi-autos. That's what we're in.
Yeah. I see a lot of stuff about, you know, there's a lot of cool kids out there with their new stuff and their Zev Glocks and things like that, and in burnt bronze with the cool slide cuts and mounting an RMR and things like that on their guns. If you want to do that, go ahead, knock yourself out. But for most encounters, when you know you and Ben teach beyond concealed carry, you're teaching 0 to 3 feet, pretty much, right?
No, that's actually about zero to about 6 or 7 yards, actually.
6 or 7 yards, okay.
Yeah,
and you can still make hits without using your sights at 7 yards. Oh,
absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. And so
good hits.
You have to factor
not just regular hits.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's one of the factors that leads me to believe I'm going to be okay, more than likely, if I have to use a gun at those kind of ranges. I don't go to malls, so I'm not going to be taking out the terrorists with my RMR at 100 yards across the food court or whatever. Probably not. It's okay if you want to do that. I hear you guys talking about, you know, getting sending your guns off to Suarez and getting the RMRs mounted and stuff like that. That's cool, but you also have to realize you're going to double the price of your gun for potentially very, very little chance that you're going to get return on your investment. That's fine. You know, if you want to get a Zev slide and an RMR, if you just want to get a Zev Glock, a ZEV Glock, it's going to cost you like $1,600 just for that.
Yeah, that's right. It is.
And then you're going to put another $500 investing in a Trigicon RMR, and you have a $2,100 Glock. Hey, I'm fine with my Glock 19, which I've done some grip modifications to it because it makes it feel better, and some personalization. I got my initials put on it because I'm silly.
Yeah.
And vain, of course. That's why I had a podcast. Not saying that's why. and some Trigicon HD sights on it, because I like that big orange dot on the front.
I like Trigicon HDs as well, yes.
And that's good enough for me. If you want to mess up your Glock and make it look stupid, that's my opinion, okay?
All right. Well, and
I'm not a big fan of the Zev Glocks and the what are the other brands that people mess up their Glocks with?
Oh, I'm drawing a blank right now, but there's a lot of them. I want to say something, though. You know, like you said, now you got a $2,100 Glock. I think in most cases, not every case, but in most cases, the dude that spends $2,100 on just the Glock itself, if he were to just get the Glock or the M&P or the XD or the Ruger or the SIG or the whatever, and spend that difference between that and the $2,100 in training and ammo, I'll bet you he might be able to outshoot the guy that just bought the $2,100 Zev Glock.
Probably. I mean, it's more than likely, I think so. I think that sometimes people are trying to make up for their lack of skill with equipment. But like I said, it's not my money. If you want to spend that kind of money on your gun,
Of course.
Please feel free to do that. I'm not telling you to do that.
I'm not either.
But I am gonna make fun of you. Because if I can see that line of your nipples underneath your cool tactical t-shirt and your tight tank top, hey, I'm going to make funny because I'm going to make sure that I outshoot you at a class at a range.
You're a bad man.
It's my mission in life to make you look dumb if you come. It's not really. I'm just kidding.
You're a bad man, Chaz Murray.
I know. I just met some people that show up to classes, and they really think that they are the stuff. And it's so fun when they fall flat on their faces.
Yeah, you just gave me an interesting
mental image. But what's even better is when they actually realize, hey, I may have made a mistake, and they actually do want to learn, and they make up for it. And they actually do go, hey, you know what? I do need some training. I'm not the end-all be-all. And they come around, and they see the light.
Yeah, yeah. Very good point. All right, so let's shift gears in our subject matter here. You have a story about one Marine named Ben Branham.
Okay, and this is going to be from my recall. We had a class that I hosted with my friend Jody Box in Centerton, Arkansas last August, and Ken Kowalski was there. We learned some medical skills that were much needed, and the name of the class was Beyond Concealed Carry Critical Trauma Care, and it was awesome. I think it was a really cool class. Now, as you know, Ben likes to sometimes show off a little bit his long-range shooting skills using just a pistol, right?
Yeah.
So we were going from 15 yards to 25 yards, back to 50 yards, 75, and 100. So we got back to about the 50-yard line, and Ken was using my Glock 19 that I had loaned to him for the class because the Glock 19 was the gun that he felt most comfortable and most familiar with. And for some reason, Ken didn't have like a reliable handgun at some point. So shame on Ken for not having a reliable handgun that he could bring to the class. He's a rifle guy. He's the host of Modern Rifleman Radio. We'll give him a little bit of leeway.
We'll give him a nice free plug there, Modern Rifleman Radio.
Yeah. And he was using my Glock 19 with the stippled grips and the Trigicon HD sights. Now, Ken hasn't had a huge amount of practice with handguns. He's been in gunsmithing school since like 1972, I think. Like, might be a little bit later than that. I can't remember. He's been in gunsmithing school for a long time, so he hasn't done a lot of shooting. We'll give him a break. He was doing fine by the end of the class. Anyway, we get back to the 50-yard line, and Ken was having a hard time hitting the target at 50 yards. Set him up, trying to make sure he's got his grip and his stance and all that kind of stuff good. And he just couldn't quite hit the 8-inch steel plate at 50 yards. So he hands the gun over to Ben Branham, you know, master shooter, Marine Corps. You know, I can hit anything at a million yards with a pistol. So Ken gives Ben my handgun, the Glock 19, and he's like, bang, miss. Bang, miss. Tries about three or four more times. And he looks at it and goes, man, these sights must be off. And I jokingly said, yeah, I sighted it in for low and left. and he tries it a few more times. Bang, miss, bang, miss. And he said, well, just for fun, let me try. So I'm at the 50-yard line. Ben hands me my own gun. I line up the sights, press the shot, bang, ting. First shot. Like, yeah, it's you, not the gun.
No, you said it was sighted low and left, so you must have been aiming high and right.
I was joking. I sighted it for dead center. So I hit it on the first shot, looked at Ben, said, yeah, it's you, not the gun.
Oh, it always goes that way. And
yeah.
You know what? Poor Ben, you know, I know he's listening. We're just having a little fun at your expense, Ben. You know, Ben, he does it to me all the time when we're out teaching a class. I'm the butt of all the jokes and all that stuff. So I take advantage of getting back at him when I can.
Yeah, when I may, you know, if anybody else has a different recall of the story, That's how it was in my mind. I'll tell you what, though. I could make the hits at 75 yards, but I couldn't hit it. I couldn't make a hit, basically, at 100 for some reason. And my friend Hanish, who was also at the same class, he could – that guy's – he could – he really is a professional, a marksman for sure. And he could hit it at 100 yards, no problem.
Nice. Very nice. Very cool.
Yeah, make sure you say hi to Hanish when you go to the tactical conference.
I will. I'm looking forward to it. You've been to a tactical conference, haven't you?
Yeah, I went last year.
Okay,
I was planning on going this year. I'm not going to be able to make it because I have financial obligations that will prohibit me from going to the actual class.
Understand.
Unfortunately. So, yeah, the government apparently wants like half my money.
Oh, let's not get started on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to work.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Chaz, I'll give you the last word about – let's get back to the LCR. Anything else you want to say about it?
Not really. It's a solid little gun. And if you're thinking about getting a traditional, what they call J-frame style snubby revolver, it's a heck of a lightweight piece that's going to feel like a heavier gun as far as the shootability. And if you care about decent triggers and you just – like the cool factor and reliability of a revolver, it's a great gun.
Okay, don't forget to go pick up your commission check from Ruger.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Chaz. It's really good to talk to you again. And don't be a stranger now. You gotta be hanging around the interwebs a little bit, okay?
Well, the only social media that I can tolerate pretty much is Instagram because it's non-political and... I don't do Facebook anymore or Twitter. I'm kind of sort of internet dark. So can I just say hello to a couple of my internet buddies that might listen
to your show? Go for it. Go for it. Yeah.
So I want to say hello to Tim Krosno. I hope your face falls off in an industrial acid burning accident. say hello to Ben, of course. I hope that 2017 works out for you, buddy. Haven't talked to him in a while. I'm sure I'm missing a few people. Oh, my friend Siddhartha Priest. Shout out to him.
Good old Sid. Hi, Sid.
Yeah. He's been in a few of your classes. I've met him, hung out with him a couple of times.
And, yeah, he's a good guy, good man.
There's a bunch I'm missing, and I want to get out of the way and let you do your thing. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I'm still live, everybody. I know most of you. You're going to get some hate mail because I know that there's some haters out there. And you know what I say to them? Have a good day. I'm having fun with or without you. So,
yeah. And Chaz, I got to say, not being on social media and on the internet, you're probably being smarter than all of us.
My stress level is way down.
Yeah.
And I'm not irritating people, so that's a good thing for them. And they're not irritating me. There's a lot of folks out there that were doing the whole podcasting thing a lot better than me, and I was not willing to improve. And I was just so I was like, you know what? I'm going to let these guys take over because there's shows like the Handgun World podcast, which you've been doing for a long time, and you do a great job. Ben's doing a great job at Modern Cell Protection. And you know what? You're taking up all. You're saying you're preaching the good word of being a responsible and safe gun owner. So what more do you need?
Thank you for the compliment, Chaz. I appreciate it. And thanks for coming on the show again.
Hey, no problem. Talk to you soon. Hopefully.
Have a good evening, buddy.
Thanks. You too.
Well, thank you, Chaz. I miss talking to that guy, and I'm glad he came on. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. And it's all about carrying the gun that you're always going to have with you. I've talked about that. I've dedicated episodes to that. And I'm much more of a fan of carrying what you can always carry because when that terrible time comes and you need it, you have to have it. Otherwise, what good is it? Okay? So think about all that stuff, folks. If this podcast helps you with your decisions of
firearms and concealed carry and competition and all kinds of good stuff like that. Please consider supporting the show. Several ways you can make your Amazon purchases through my Amazon store at handgunworld.com. You can join the Shooters Club for $8 a month or $75 a year and really see some cool videos. How about signing up for one of the classes that Ben Branham and I might be teaching near you soon? So check it all out over at handgunworld.com. Last but not least, voicemails. I'd love to get some more pretty soon. 210-646-1727 is that phone number. 210-646-1727. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, even on YouTube. Check it all out, folks. And I'm Bob Main. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. Remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Read your Bible every day and shoot straight and shoot safe. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye. Good.